The Equifax hacking scandal continues to have a widespread impact, and the company's ousted CEO Richard Smith faced tough questions from a Senate committee recently. Some were focused on a no-bid IRS contract that would grant Equifax more than $7 million to help prevent fraud. So was the Equifax breach preventable? Is it just the proverbial tip of the iceberg for hackers? Recently, CactusCon, the largest annual hacker and security conference in Arizona, brought experts together to talk about Equifax and what could be next. And with me to discuss some of those issues is Paulo Shakarian, Fulton Entrepreneurial Professor at ASU and CEO of Syracon, a cybersecurity company. Paulo, could the Equifax hack have been prevented, or is this just a new method from the depths of the dark web?
I think there are things that could have been figured out in more of a general sense. I think that what we see going on here, the trend has been that attackers are not using so much zero-day exploits, so things that can be used to attack systems that no one knows about. And actually, the use of zero days has decreased year on year for the past 3 years. We see a rise in as hackers using exploits for known software flaws. The reason they're able to do this is because the amount of known software flaws is increasing by so much, it's very difficult for companies to stay ahead of the patching process. So in 2017, there have already been over 10,000 disclosed software vulnerabilities, and we're on track to double the number in 2016.
Yeah, that seems like even if people were on top of what patching had to be, how do you stay that nimble when it comes to 10,000 software flaws?
Well, it becomes a problem of resources. And so the trick is can we patch the right vulnerabilities that are more likely to be affected or cause the greatest level of impact to the enterprise network? And so this is where, you know, information like the data we see on the dark web come into play, because it helps prioritize what actions are taken based on what the cyber hackers are doing.
And what does patching entail, Paulo?
Well, patching is actually quite tricky because, you know, we tend to think as laymen that patching just involves making sure your, you know, Windows update is occurring regularly. And maybe for your average user, it causes a minor inconvenience to when they can use their system. But when you think of a corporation like, say, Equifax, patching involves a lot more. So, for instance, with the vulnerability used in the Equifax breach, it would have required a rebuild of several of their servers, as well as some of the applications that run on top of that. And very quickly, because of the interdependencies of these systems, a simple patch can lead to weeks of work and significant amount of manpower to take care of it. So it's non-trivial.
Let's come back to the software flaw question. How does that come about? How do so many software flaws come about? Are there ways of issuing them without having flaws, or is this sort of how it works when technology is changing this rapidly?
It's more of how it works when technology is changing rapidly. And there's a couple drivers for this. One is systems are built on various components that themselves may have flaws. And as technology evolves and is used in new and exciting way, some of these components end up being used in ways that their initial authors weren't expecting, which can open them up to flaws. There are also what are called blended threats, which means that if I have two components that themselves may not have much wrong with them, if they're put together in a certain way, it could open up a window of opportunity for an attacker. So it's very difficult. And I think, honestly, the problem is going to get worse before it gets better, because so many things emerging like Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, as these things become more and more mainstream, I think it's going to give more opportunities to hackers instead of less.
Are most hackers out there to get our information and take advantage of our credit and this sort of thing, or do some of them just want to show they can do it?
It used to be in the old days, you know, the 80s and 90s, it was more about establishing, you know, expertise and just showing that they could do something. But nowadays, it's more about money. Identities and account information can be easily monetized. The marketplace for doing this is fairly stratified in a way where hackers have the opportunity to specialize in just writing the exploits or writing the malware, or then they can go and buy that stuff and use it to obtain stolen information that can also be sold.
What should companies be prioritizing, considering that I guess you can't be 100% protected, but what are some of the things you think the companies should be focused on when it comes to at least limiting the effects of some of these hacks?
There is an existing mindset that still exists with regard to cybersecurity, where you have to just build up your defenses to guard against every attack. And I don't think that's tenable long term. And instead, I think companies need to move to a more risk mitigation mindset, where they can, and instead of posing the question of, well, do we plug all the holes, it's more of a question of, well, have we mitigated the risk to an acceptable level? So again, going back to the Equifax example, the question really should have been, okay, it costs us this amount of money, and we could quantify that based on the manpower involved to solve this problem. Is the amount of risk acceptable if we don't solve the problem? Is that okay? Can we handle that? Well, if you consider that, well, we knew that hackers had developed exploits for this particular flaw, the analysis should have pointed to, no, that risk is unacceptable. We need to invest time to patch the flaw. But doing this kind of analysis, most companies, unfortunately, aren't doing. There are a few that are a little bit ahead. And I think over time, we're going to see more and more move this way, particularly as cyber insurance becomes more of an important factor.
Paul Ashakarian is Fulton Entrepreneurial Professor at ASU. He's also CEO of Syricon, a cybersecurity company.